Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisners.
Happy busy Friday over here.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been very busy so far today.
It has been a very busy 24 hours, I would say, at least 12 hours. I think our dog, we have a new-ish, not like super new, but newer puppy. And we got them some new dog food the other day because the kind that usually we get, we had run out of for him. And then we had run out of the stuff that we usually give our other dog, the older dog, Dora. And the new stuff that we got apparently does not settle well with him, because for like two nights in a row, he has whined like multiple times a night asking to go outside because he has upset belly.
Aw, poor baby puppy.
So it is not fun, because I remember in the house we used to live in, it was a one story and we had a sliding door in our master bedroom. So mm-hmm. we could just let the dog out, you know, let Dora do her thing and bring her back. Where now we're in a two story and we're like not mm-hmm. in the woods. We're like not in nature. So I have to like go down, or like Master, I will have to go down, like go outside to our itty bitty backyard that's not fenced in yet. And like, just keep an eye on him, make sure he does his thing, and then have to bring him back in, or like hook him up outside so he can be outside for a little bit. And he was like whining to go out, and it's like 1 a.m. And I'm like, I can't even hardly fall asleep. And then of course the children wake you up early. And it's just, you know,
that is my
so far 12 hour busyness. And our oldest has a field trip this morning, so we're gonna go do that. I have an errand I'm running, and then I have to help a friend this afternoon, help drop her car off at like a car rental thing. I don't know. So it's just like, you know, it's just a busy Friday. What does your Friday look like?
You are very busy, lady. Well, let me look at my previous 12 hours. So my previous 12 hours ago, I was finishing up an episode of Gilmore Girls with my husband. And then I got ready for bed, and then I fell asleep. And then I woke up, and then I spent like an hour and a half on my phone playing New York Times games. And then now I'm here. So a lot different than the previous 12 hours.
Restful.
Yes. I will have a busier day, though, because I have to, obviously we're recording, then I have to go on a run, then I have to wash my hair, which can be an arduous task, and then my husband and I are traveling to visit his family this weekend, which is a solid at least 4-hour drive from where we live right now. So it'll be busier. Definitely not as busy as you. But the great thing is you're done with school right now.
I'm done with school. I'm on a break, so I can up my reading game.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited about that. I have been reading Lessons in Chemistry. No, it is not finished, but I have been reading it, and I really like it.
Isn't it so good?
It's just trying to find like a chunk of time to do it that's not at like 9 p.m. because also my children have not been going to bed very well. So by the time I'm going to sleep and unwinding and actually can like hang out with Max a little bit and stuff and then do my own thing, it's like 11 p.m. And I'm like, you know, I probably should sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I just have not had like chunks of time to read it because I feel like if I was given like, go read for 2 hours, I probably get it almost all the way done. I'm like almost halfway done, I think. That's so great. I'm really liking it. But yeah, no more school. That means I have, well, I'm supposed to have some more free time to do some reading and some other things like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some reading done in the car today. Although my husband complains sometimes when like I ignore him when we're driving because he likes to like have conversations in the car. I know that is shocking to you, Haley.
It is.
It's like famously well known in my family that my husband's just not a very chatty person around everybody else, but he's very chatty around me. And so that's the joke. But he complains when I don't talk to him in the car. But I'm hoping he just walked in the room and looked at me when I said that, like, what are you saying about me? But I might try and get some reading done. But anyway, we are not here to talk about our personal reading lives today. We are here to talk about, the spookiest books we have read ever. And I have 5 spooky books.
Haley, I totally left some out.
You totally left some out as you're thinking about it now?
Yep. Because I was thinking some of the most spooky ones that I've read recently. I completely forgot like one or two that I can just do honorable mention. They'll just be on. I have 5 that I thought of, but 2 that I'm literally thinking of right now that I will say as honorable mentions. Maybe I can even rope as in like an author. Like an honorable mention author. But yeah, I have 5 as well.
Okay. I think we probably have at least one that's the same.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I'm sure. Which is How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix.
Yes.
Yes. We already did a review on this book. It was very, very, very spooky.
Very.
If you want to know more about the spookiness.
So yeah, essentially, we've talked about it before, but if you've not heard it, essentially this book is about this girl who her and her brother are kind of estranged, but their parents very spontaneously.
They die.
And, spontaneously they just combust. Spontaneous combustion.
They died in a car accident
and so the daughter has to come back to the hometown where the brother has been living.
Mm-hmm.
And try to help get the house all organized and stuff like that, but there's like some creepy stuff that's been happening, and like I'm just gonna say the mom and dad have like their own quirky little, I think everyone has their own quirky little things that they like to do or things that they collect or things like that. Like growing up, I really like to collect. Well, I think cause our mom, I don't know. I used to have Precious Moments. I don't know if anyone knows what those are, but they're like little glass dolls and they're very cute and posed, and they're not like, they look like little, like sad babies. I don't know how to describe them. You know what I'm saying? They are just like kind of precious. They're like precious looking. They're not a doll that you play with. They're like
ceramic or porcelain or something.
I was going to say statues, but they're like little figurines.
They are little statues. Yeah, they're figurines. And they got these like big eyes and they all look the same.
Mm-hmm,
and they're all like, they'll have like wedding precious moments where it's like 2 people getting married, baby precious moments where like it's a brand new baby, like the 2,
or like just a single precious moment that's like a cute girl with a pretty dress or whatever, but they're all like, I don't know, something. But anyway, so everyone has their own little things that they collect, and these people's parents had some very quirky things that they collected. The dad, I'm trying to remember, his was, oh goodness, totally blanking on what the dad's is. It doesn't matter though.
No, they were both puppeteers.
Nuh-uh. The dad liked something else. Like he did like weather or something. I don't remember. Anyway, but the mom was really in, or maybe dad did like stars. I don't remember. The dad did something. The mom did puppets. So she would do like church puppets and would do like story times and stuff like that. And think maybe more like Sesame Street puppet. You know what I mean? Like something kind of like that. It's supposed to be kind of fun and cute and kitty, but it goes horribly wrong. That's mm-hmm. all I will say. So if you can't get what I'm trying to get at when I say that,
I mean, it's also called How to Sell a Haunted House.
That house, there is a lot of creepy stuff that happens. Let's just say mm-hmm. that.
All right, what's your next one? I know that we had that as the same.
Okay, so my next one is going to be The Whisper Man by Alex North. This
I knew book, you were going to put this one on
well,
your
because
list.
I have to, because I genuinely, so when I was picking these books for like the spookiness and, you know, whatever creeped me out factor, I like have to put the ones that I remember distinctly reading, and not even just like a scene, like, cause I can tell you there's like a few scenes from some thriller authors that will stick with me that are just really either, I wouldn't necessarily say graphic, but just very, like, just they just stick with you. They're very memorable. Whereas The Whisper Man is one of those stories where I felt very creepy, like creeped out while reading it. Yeah. Just like How to Sell a Haunted House. Like to the point where I was reading at my kitchen counter, and I've said this before, but then I like was reading this thing about how someone was sneaking up behind somebody else, and I like turned around me and I'm like, is someone here?
Oh my.
Like, someone in my kitchen, like it like freaked me out. So I would say that one definitely is in my top. And that one is about this guy who called the Whisper Man, and it's in this like hometown, this like small town. I mean, there's a lot of like background that goes on with it, but essentially there's this quote unquote Whisper Man who whispers to little boys at nighttime and like draws them out of their houses, and then they're like, they go missing.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So it's pretty creepy. So that's on my list.
Yeah. I knew you were going to put that on the list. I thought it was creepy, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I don't think I was as creeped out on it as you were. So next book on my list is Her Every Fear by Peter Swanson. It is so spooky, creepy. It just, I need you to read this book, because there's literally, I've told you this before, there's literally a scene. It's like Daisy Darker, where there's like a scene in your brain that like stays haunted in your head forever. There is a scene like that in Her Every Fear. And I just think about it all the time. And I think about just like in the, I think the thing is, I think with Peter Swanson books, the reason they're so, I literally, every time I read his books, I literally think to myself, I'm so scared that one day something will come out that he's an actual killer. Like, I'm not even, because like his books are so like, it's like a realistic way to write about murder, I guess. It's like,
maybe he has a lot of friends that are detectives or like MEs or something like that.
I have no idea. But he like really gets into the head of these people, because like some of his books are like in the perspective, like, or they'll have perspectives of the killer.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know. Like, the books are just literally so, I can't, like, it just, like, as someone who's like followed like true crime and stuff like that, like there is aspects of his novels, and especially Her Every Fear, that I'm like, oh, this, like, this 100% could happen, and that's so disgusting and disturbing as a woman to know that, like, because there's something that happens to a girl in the book.
So what's the premise of this book?
Okay, so the premise of this book is, if I'm remembering correctly, I haven't even said it. If I'm remembering correctly, it's about this girl who does like an apartment swap with her cousin. So she lives in England, and I think she swaps apartments with her cousin who lives somewhere in the United States. And when she gets there, apparently, like, he has a girlfriend or, like, a someone who, like, lived in an apartment that he can see. And she goes missing. But it turns out that, like, he was, like, closer, like, kind of romantically acquainted with her. And then now he has conveniently swapped apartments and is in the UK. And so there's all this investigation about this missing woman while his cousin is, like, trying to figure out, like, is my cousin have something to do with this? Like, how well did he actually know her? And then you also get her cousin's perspective and learn about stuff from his past. And, oh, my gosh. I can't go into it. But, like, there's so much there's so much more to it. And it literally is, like, a mind. It messes with your mind. It really does. Anyway, it's super, super good. I really enjoyed it. And, like, there's just, I don't know. There's just, like, I can't go into it anymore. Okay. But I just need you to read it.
Like, safe to say, it's getting to the top of that TBR. Is it even at the top of that list?
I don't even know if I put it on your list.
That is hilarious, because I told you to make me that list, and maybe didn't make it.
I know. Hold on. List of TBR. Yeah, it is on there. It's number 4.
Okay. Well, I've got 3 more to go.
You do. All right. What's your next one?
My next one is actually going to be, I think this might be a surprise to you.
Okay.
It is going to be Verity by Colleen Hoover.
You know, I almost put that one down.
I will say, everyone is like, Colleen Hoover, I love her. She's such a good romance writer and blah, blah, blah. And she's amazing and all these books. I've only read like this one book from her.
That's the only one you need to read.
And it is like it feels like 180 apparently from what she normally does. So, yeah, but I liked it. So who knows if I would like the other stuff, because I really like this one.
I've heard that she has, like, a lot of her books are romance. I heard she has other books that are more thriller-y, but
I think there's, like, domestic stuff that happens, violence or something.
Stuff, and I'm not really into that, really.
Yeah. But anyway, so Verity is about a girl who doesn't she kind of fall in love with this guy?
So she is hired to be a ghostwriter for this guy's
wife. Oh, yeah. For this guy's wife. So, yeah. Continue. I'm sorry. You're totally right.
No, you're fine. She gets hired to be a ghostwriter because this guy's wife, her name is Verity. She was, like, this very famous, like, fantasy writer, I think. Get to finish her series because she had a car accident that, like, caused her to be, like, in a catatonic state. And then she's, like, paralyzed now. And so she, like, the main character is, like, a really good author. And so they hire her to ghostwrite the rest of the series. And while she's there, she starts to, like, but she's technically paralyzed. And she ends up finding these letters.
Is she, like, in a coma or something like that? Or supposed to be or something?
She's supposed to be kind of, like, like the Riley Sager book we just read, where it's like she can't really communicate and she can't really move. But then she ends up finding this diary that Verity wrote, and ends up finding out some very creepy things about that family.
And like her relationship with that guy, because she starts to kind of get a little relationship with the husband, mm-hmm. and she reads some of those journal entries, and so she gets like, yeah, it's interesting, you get like a background perspective of Verity, but then also like the current girl is trying to piece it all together of like, is this accurate, is this just her side of the story, like what's mm-hmm. going on. And it is so creepy. And at the end there was like a big old scandal because there's one of those journal entries or like a letter that gets written by Verity and you're reading it and you're just like, wait, what happened? What? And you're mind blown because you can't figure out if everything you just read was real or not.
So good.
And there was even a huge thing online, and the author herself like jumped in and was like, oh no, this is kind of what I think.
Yeah,
and
so she, like, I think that kind of squashed everything.
Yeah, it kind of squashed a lot of people's like speculations and everything. But we were right. I mean, like, we thought what we thought was right was what Colleen Hoover said. So we were on track with that.
I felt justified.
Super, super creepy. Just one of those where it's kind of like you're getting in another person's mind and then you're second guessing reality, you know, like, did they move it or not? Like, I thought I heard a noise in her room, and she gets up and runs down there. Nope.
Yeah, it's literally there. So
like
good.
Stuff like that, you're like, okay, she's either paranoid or something is going on that she's picking up on, but you know, is still flying under the radar. So it's like investigative but also spooky.
Yes, it's so good. All right, my next one is another Peter Swanson. It is Nine Lives, and again, it's like literally like I'm scared.
You think Nine Lives is more creepy than Before She Knew Him?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Before She Knew Him has very graphic death in it, which is creepy in itself.
Yeah.
But Nine Lives is kind of like it's kind of like And Then There Were None.
Yes.
So there's like a group of people that all receive like a letter in the mail that has a list of names on it, including their own name. And they're like, what the crap is this? And then someone on the list dies. And then someone else on the list dies. And then one of the people on the list is literally like a detective. And so she is trying to figure out who is killing all these people and why, to try and stop it before something the same happens to her. And it's literally so good, but it's also so freaking creepy and spooky because you know that death is gonna, it's not like they're in like a confined spot, like, And Then There Were None, like they're like all around the country, and you're also trying to figure out like what's the connection between all these people, why are all these people dying, like, and it's so creepy spooky in the sense of like you know that death is coming but you don't know to whom and you don't know why or when. And it's so good. And honestly, like, thinking about it again makes me just want to reread it. It's so good.
I wonder how it would be as an audiobook. I wonder if you'd have different voices for each chapter. Or, you know, different whatever. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That's a good question. You might, honestly.
Okay, so for me, that was a really good one. For me, my next one.
Did you read Nine Lives?
Yes, I did.
Oh. Isn't it so good? In like a day.
Yeah, it was good. I read it really fast. It was good.
It was so good.
Okay, so I think if you don't have this one on your list, you probably should have, or you just assumed I would. House Across the Lake by Riley Sager.
I did not include it. I thought about it, but I didn't.
So good. We've talked about this one a lot, but essentially this girl's husband has passed.
Right? It is so good, though.
Right? He passed?
Yeah. Yeah, he died.
The girl's husband's passed, and she is famous. And so they have, like, a cabin that they had on a lake, and she, you know, is having a lot of bad publicity, and so she needs to go away. There's a lot more details that I'm just, like, backstory and stuff as to why and what was going on.
Yeah.
But she also loves her booze. So I think that was kind of getting her in trouble as well. And so her publisher and everyone is – or her whatever they're called, PR person, was like, please, like, you need to take some time, go away, get better, recover, heal, like, process what's happened. It's, you know, this is really horrible and stuff like that. And while she's there, she meets this other girl who is married to, I think, like, a famous tech person or something like that. And they hit it off, but then she thinks she, like, sees them having this, like, domestic spat, like, across the lake, like, in there. Because, you know, some of those houses are so big and fancy. They've got those big glass, walls that are windows. And it's
from Rear Window, which has to do with looking into someone's home.
Exactly. And seeing something that happens, but you are not a reliable narrator, so people don't necessarily trust you. And it, but it only starts there. Then it like spins off into all these like folklore stories and like mystery, but also like paranormal stuff comes up and just like super crazy, like things that I just would never anticipate, but it all actually works. And I just have to say with that one in particular, I feel like every like plot line or every potential like loophole or like like plot hole is filled. I feel like everything is complete. Like you feel like at the end you're like, wait a second, what about this? And then like in his epilogue or like the last few pages he like closes it off and you're like, oh yay.
So it feels very akin to Riley Sager, The Last Time I Lied.
Yes, where everything goes kind of has to do with water.
Setting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those both are probably some of my favorites from him. But that one in particular was just super creepy just because of some of the stuff that happens in the ending. And there's a little bit of like paranormal, like supernatural, spiritually stuff that happens where it just feels even extra creepy.
Yeah.
So
I personally think the creepiest part is kind of where I see the book splitting into part one and part two, which is like part one before you know stuff. Like the main character knows something that you don't know. And then part two is when you find out. And when that, oh my gosh, I was like, oh my gosh, creepy.
Yeah. Some crazy stuff.
It is.
So anyway. That one was definitely had to make my list. I knew right away it had to be on there. So I had to obviously bring it up.
Okay. I don't know if you have this one on your list, but I think you probably should have. Ready? In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife by Ashley Winstead.
I had that one on my list when I was like marking off in my brain. But then when I was looking at my actual shelf, I decided to not include it.
Wow.
But I did
so
have
sad.
That. I did it's, have that in my brain list.
It's so creepy. Like, it's I feel like In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife is so similar The It Girl by Ruth Ware.
Yes.
But I kind of like In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife a little bit better.
Yes.
Where it's like this, it was college, right? Yeah, the college students where one of the friends who it's also very similar to I Have Some Questions For You by Rebecca Mackay. A lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this friend and she's like in this friend group and she has like she ends up getting like stabbed or something.
Yeah.
In her room. And then like, I don't think it ever gets solved, right?
Yeah.
And then they come back like for like a 10
it's like
year
a 20,
reunion.
10, yeah, 10 year reunion and all the friends get together and they talk about what happened. Mm-hmm. And through a series of events, you kind of find out that everyone has like their own side to the story and their own little puzzle piece to kind of fit together to figure out what actually did end up happening.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me kind of thinks that the ending of It Girl, I maybe like a little bit better than the ending of In My Dreams.
Okay, fair.
But overall, I do feel like that book is worth mentioning 100%.
It is. It's also very creepy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have one more on your list?
I have only one more. I only have one more, yeah.
Okay.
My last one, I think, is going to take you by surprise again, because I think you maybe forgot about this. I have Lost Causes of Bleak Creek by Rhett & Link.
Ooh, yeah, that one is creepy.
So this is a spooky novel about, written by the two YouTubers, which people hopefully know who we're talking about because they're pretty famous, Rhett McLaughlin and Link Neal from Good Mythical Morning. And they wrote this book, The Lost Causes of Bleak Creek. And it's essentially like their little podunk town that they grew up in North Carolina, but like in a really bad way. I don't know if you have this, but I also thought of another honorable mention right now. But anyway, so essentially it's about this like place that like delinquent children go, or people who don't just, you know, aren't good, you know, good people or whatever, young kids go. And there's like this investigation that happens as to like, and it's like in the perspective of like young boys, like these, like kind of like them as young kids, but a little different. Mm-hmm. But then you find out there's like more to the story than just this, I can't even think, like a juvie. It's kind of like that, but not. But there's more to it than that, and there's more like kind of creepy and like also like another paranormal-ish factor that we don't know about till we find out later. So it kind of like goes off on this crazy side tangent that you don't even realize is going to be part of the story. So that was really fun, also really creepy and very like surprising from them. Like it definitely took me by surprise.
Oh,
so
for sure.
It was very enjoyable though, and definitely had some twists and turns I was not anticipating.
Okay, my last one, and then you can mention your honorable mentions, which I didn't even think of the Rhett and Link one, is The Sanatorium by Sarah Pierce.
Oh, so good.
I remember just reading that book, and, like, the very first page, like, is, like, a prologue of, like, someone going missing or, like, stumbling upon a very, very creepy person in a gas mask, and that is, like, the evil entity in this book is like someone is like killing people and kidnapping people, and they are showing up in this gas mask in this former sanatorium that's now a hotel, and it's like snowed out and people are trying to get out, and there's this creepy person in a gas mask, and like literally every single time that person shows up, I literally like there's at one point like someone's like stuck in an elevator and there's the gas mask person, I literally was like it felt like a true like horror movie character.
Yeah, super creepy.
Super creepy, and it's written super well to just, like, give you the creeps. Was more disappointed in The Retreat by Sarah Pierce, which is the sequel, the second book in the series about this detective, but I freaking loved Sanatorium, and it really gave me the heebie-jeebies. It was so good.
Yeah, it was so good. I agree. We have read so many of these creepy books that, like, as I'm telling this synopses of one book, like I had earlier, like, oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, that one was really good too. So I'm like getting all these snippets about all other ones. But I will say one that I completely forgot about is All Good People Here by Ashley Flowers. I feel like that one is definitely commendable. Also creepy. The ending is amazing, but also sad, but also realistic, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to throw out my girl, Gillian Flynn. I mean, come on now.
For Gone Girl?
Sharp Objects, Dark Places.
Sharp Objects is creepy as heck.
Creepy. There is so much creep.
Sharp Objects is so creepy.
It is so, I cannot even. It's, yeah. So I was like, as we were talking about, I was like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about, you know, and I'm having these snippet memories of certain scenes from all these other books that we've read. So these are honestly just the ones that first popped up into my brain when I looked at my shelf. I was like, oh yeah, creepy, that one's creepy. Definitely remember that one. And I think for me, stuff that like really creeps me out is maybe something that's like a little bit more on the paranormal side or something that's a little bit like inexplainable versus like necessarily someone that is like a serial killer. Like I think the like paranormal stuff freaks me out. And like, that's what I would think of as spooky versus like more thrillery. So those are kind of the ones that stood out to me.
My thing is I consider paranormal spooky as well. But I think what really, like, gives me, like, shivers up my spine is, like, when it feels like it could be realistic. Like, that's why I'm, like, in my dreams, I hold a knife. That can be realistic. And it's kind of freaking weird and creepy. Nine Lives, like, Her Every Fear, like, those are freaking out. But also, Sanatorium is not super realistic. And neither is How to Sell a Haunted House. But those ones also freaked me out.
Yep.
Definitely a mixed bag for me.
Yes.
All right. So, Haley, you are currently still reading Lessons in Chemistry.
Yes. But next week, for sure, it will be different. I guarantee.
And then I am reading The Lost Night by Andrea Bartz. I don't know if I mentioned that before.
I don't think so.
So I'm reading that. It's the same author as We Were Never Here, which I actually almost mentioned We Were Never Here because I really liked that book a lot, but I don't think it like was really like spooky.
Yeah.
But I liked the ending of that book a ton. So I'm reading The Lost. It definitely reads like a debut, which isn't bad.
but it's definitely been taking me a little bit longer to get through, but I'm hoping I can finish it today.
Yes. And if you guys want any more of like our thoughts on some of these authors or some of these creepy books, we do have a lot in our back catalog of like ranking some of our favorite authors and their specific books. You know, we do read a lot of thrillery, like horror, stuff like that. So if you are interested, especially in this type of season, I think we also did some like I just got The Kiss Curse by Aaron Sterling. And that is like a Halloween / spooky, but romance. So there's like a lot out there. So if you guys want to look back at any of those, usually around this time of year, we do some fun episodes like this. So
go ahead and check some of those out. We have like top 5 thriller books or whatever from a couple of years ago. I'm sure. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, especially after having a blast in the past episode last week.
That was so fun.
That is still so fun to like to have like some older episodes come through again, because we've got some good ones. But thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.